with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Following our recent program about methods for improving the speech of people with Parkinson's disease, this week we explore an innovative approach to improving their movement and general well-being. Former ballet dancer and choreographer Paris Wages now teaches dance to people with neurological conditions, concentrating on Parkinson's. She has had special training with American program Dance for PD to be able to modify her skills. Paris holds classes that are both fun and beneficial for people across the full spectrum of the condition, regardless of the level of mobility. While she is based in Melbourne, similar classes are available across Australia, and anyone wishing to join a class can find out more on their website, Dance for Parkinson's Australia, or one word, .org. Barbara Sullivan began the conversation by asking Paris to tell us a little more about her personal background.
I moved to Australia about 5 years ago from San Francisco, so I'm born and raised in the United States. However, I am an Australian citizen now, so...
Very good to hear.
So, yeah, I, for many years, danced professionally throughout the United States as a contemporary dancer and ballet dancer. And shortly before moving to Australia, I had two young children, which ended my career as a professional dancer and choreographer. So I danced with the San Francisco Opera Ballet and the Los Angeles Opera, and some contemporary dance companies, had a really lovely experience, and then moved down to Australia to be closer to my husband's family.
And one of your many involvements now in Melbourne is as a dance teacher for Dance for Parkinson's, which is now a global initiative. Briefly tell me how, when, and where did this organization start?
Originally, the Dance for PD program started, must have been about 12 or 13 years ago, in Brooklyn, New York, with the Brooklyn Parkinson's Group. They approached a modern dance company in the U.S. called the Mark Morris Dance Company. And they said, look, we're looking to bring about professional dancers with people who have Parkinson's disease. We think it would be a great match. And it was. And it turned into this amazing global organization that has presently been training professional dancers and professional dance teachers from over 20 countries, and now there are over 100 affiliated classes available globally. So in other words, you have these professional dancers who've had this amazing experience, and then they get some training from Dance for PD, where they learn how to fine-tune their skills and share their knowledge and expertise with people who have Parkinson's. I was asked by a colleague of mine if I was interested in attending training about 4 years ago, and I was fortunate enough to attend the first Brisbane training. After that, I came back to Melbourne, and I started a dance class in Camberwell every Friday. So we've been going for now 4 years.
Well, you're one of the originals.
But it has really, really spread throughout Australia like wildfire. It has been immensely popular and successful throughout the country. There's classes, several classes in Perth and Sydney, Brisbane, and Tasmania as well.
So as I understand it, it's the depletion of dopamine in a person's brain which causes Parkinson's, and this affects movement generally, so exercise helps. But what is it specifically about dance?
Well, I think there's a lot of things to consider. Certainly mobility is the first thing that comes to mind, and dance addresses coordination. I like to emphasize in my class lots of times lifting the knees up and thinking about being very mindful in our movement so that we don't fall into that slump and just dragging the feet along. But there's so many other things that the class addresses as well. There's a certain amount of rigidity that comes along with Parkinson's. It can be one of the symptoms. And so in our class, we address fluidity and flexibility. So we try to give these beautiful images of moving like seaweed and moving the arms and the legs in a very fluid fashion. There's also the mental ability to look at a dance exercise and have to replicate it. So we're challenging the brain and the body in a very nurturing environment. Another symptom of Parkinson's often is what we call facial masking, where people might be stuck in a grimace or in a certain type of expression on their face. So what we do in the class is we'll often become different characters. So when we do a dance exercise, we might pretend that we just ate a lemon and we make a funny face, and then we bite into a chocolate cake and we have a nice bright look on our face. And so we're able to also address those issues of facial masking. But I think one of the most important things that the group dance class brings to somebody with Parkinson's is the ability to socialize with other people. And I think Parkinson's can be a very isolating disease for many and somewhat depressing, I can imagine. So if a person is able to get themselves to the class, they're going to be in a very warm, receptive environment with people who are going through a similar experience. And I think that that human interaction is really, really important. And for me as a teacher, I get to share the joy of dance and the joy of music. We like to use a variety of music that can inspire us. So certainly rhythm and musicality play a role as well as encouraging people to forget that they have Parkinson's and for 1 hour they're dancers.
Many of the things you've described there are those factors which increase dopamine as well. And I gather depression is just a natural result of a decrease of dopamine.
Absolutely. Another important part of the class has actually nothing to do with dance. The model that we place our class under, the Dance for PD model, is to encourage a morning tea or social experience following the class.
Right.
And that's just lovely. We share in this experience of being dancers, and then we go to the cafe and we have a coffee and we share, you know, a pastry together, and we converse and we talk and we share about movies we've seen or certain activities and events that are coming up. And that is also that added bonus of getting people out of their houses so they're not feeling isolated and feeling like they're a part of a group.
Now, you mentioned before that the Dance for Parkinson's organization has special training programs. As a dance professional, what did you need to do to progress to helping people with Parkinson's?
The wonderful thing about the Dance for PD program is they have a variety of training programs. So I started off knowing nothing about Parkinson's. I didn't even know anybody who had Parkinson's. And I went to this weekend training. It was a very intense training. This was the basic introductory training where I just got an idea of what this disease was, what some of the symptoms are, and how we can modify teaching a dance class and make it very specific, targeting certain key points that go hit directly Parkinson's disease and how we can do that. I've also had some advanced training. One of the things we targeted on that was a network of teachers, and we all presented some of our most favorite exercises that we do in class, and we were given a lot of different music, and it's one of the things I enjoy the most is we get to be really creative. It's so much fun coming up with the Dance for Parkinson's class.
Yes.
From my point of view. What can I do with this piece of music from the Nutcracker, and how can I make it work with people who have Parkinson's? And you get ideas from other teachers, you steal from the best, and then you figure out what's going to be most enjoyable and helpful for the people you teach. And their symptoms of Parkinson's are so varied and run a very long spectrum. And so you're constantly learning new things about the experience your dancers have.
Yes. How do you handle that in a class when you must have such variety?
Well, the beautiful thing about this class is this is not just for people who don't have wheelchairs. This is for everybody, whether you're in a wheelchair, a walker, walking stick, doesn't matter. Young, old, we are available for everybody. And that is part of the challenge, maybe, is how do you create a class for people of such differing mobilities? Well, one of the big things is we have two teachers. I teach my class with a co-teacher, a lovely woman named Gaby Stanger, who happens to have a background in physical therapy and dance. So she adds a really nice element to the class as well. And we share the exercises. And whoever is not leading the exercise, the other person is available to show modifications that would be helpful to other people, depending on who you have in class. We also encourage volunteers. So we periodically get students from the local uni who might be studying physiotherapy to come in, and they will just assist with helping people sit down and get situated. So it is a class that requires a lot of support, particularly like my class in Camberwell sometimes has up to 25 people, so that's really big. So it's very important that you're well supported.
And that helps with the safety factor. I imagine that's part of the training program.
Absolutely. The safest way, at a certain point, we start off sitting in chairs. So we start off nice and easy, and we just get used to the space and moving the body. And then we get to a certain point where we invite our participants to stand up and stand behind their chair. So they're still using their chair as a support, but they're standing up. Now, if some participants, some dancers are unable to do that, or maybe they're just too tired for this particular day, they don't feel like standing, then there's another teacher available to show them how they can do the dance routine without standing up. It's a gradual process, showing people how to stand up carefully and slowly. And then the class progresses to the possibility of moving across the floor. And sometimes they need somebody to hold their arm as they go across the floor. Some people are quite mobile and have no problem moving across the floor. So, yeah, dealing with those challenges is a bit tricky, but I also like to think of it as, how can we do this in a creative, fun way?
Well, you've painted a really interesting picture for us about what happens in a class.
And many people have never danced in their life.
Yes.
So, wow, how do I do this? But I tell people, look, don't judge yourself. Nobody is judging you here. Just have fun. Don't worry about right hand, left hand. It doesn't matter. Just do your best right now, today. What do you have? And have fun. I always say to people, look, I promise I play fun music. I'll play some Elvis Presley.
Right.
We'll have Waltzing Matilda. I often will tell people, look, if there's a particular song you like, let me know and I'll try and play some. I had one gentleman who really loved ragtime music, the music of Scott Joplin. So we incorporated a couple of pieces of his choice into our class, and it made him so happy.
Can people just attend a session to see if they like it, or do they have to sign up for a block?
Well, we are a pay-as-you-go, no booking ahead necessary, and I really feel strongly about that because, as I understand with Parkinson's, from what I've been told, you might be doing great, and then one day you wake up Friday morning and it's just not happening. And if you feel that you've committed to a class and you're worried about, oh, I can't come, we don't want that. We want you to just wake up and go, I feel good, I'm going to do this. So you don't have to book ahead. There's no financial commitment. We have a suggested donation of $5 to our class.
Very reasonable.
Yeah, nobody's keeping track of who's paying and who's not. It's all good.
Actually, I think I'd like to come.
You could, Barbara. Another lovely aspect of it is you're more than welcome and encouraged to bring a family member or your caregiver,
Excellent. Partner,
friend. And I have seen daughters come to class with their father who might have Parkinson's and just share in the class and they're in tears because they get to enjoy, experience something with their parent and see how it makes them happy. And that's just beautiful. So we are completely open. And you don't have to have Parkinson's disease to attend the class. We have people sometimes who've had strokes. We have a woman who has Huntington's disease. We have a lovely lady who has dementia. So we definitely target Parkinson's, but we are open to other neurological disorders in adults as well.
Very interesting. Oh, Paris, thank you so much for talking to us today. It's been fascinating.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. I really feel passionate about sharing dance. It's such a privilege to be at this point in my career where I can share the joy of dance with others, and they give as much to me as I to them. It's such a beautiful experience and really, truly a privilege to be a part of it.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.